Well, good morning and welcome, brothers and sisters in Christ. It's wonderful to be with you and enjoy children singing. We've been preparing, they've been preparing. What a blessing to hear their sweet little voices, the candle lighting, all of that. Merry Christmas as the season comes. Today is our second point of Advent, our second Sunday of Advent, I guess. The title today is The Perfect Peace of the Prince of Peace. And I'm curious, there's no obligation here, but how many of you read my weekly word? So show of hands if you read my weekly word this week. Okay. If you don't get that, email info@ibcmadrid.com and request to be on that list. We send it out to anybody who wants it. Every week, that's what I do on usually Tuesday morning. I've read the scripture that I've prepared, the Lord has prepared, been assigned, and I sit down on Tuesday morning and I write that weekly word as my creative venture into the text. This week, I'm actually going to use some of the weekly word in the message because I thought it was appropriate. Because this is the Sunday of peace. Peace. Or chaos. There is such a lack of peace in our world. Look at the news. Look around us at individual stress and, yes, global conflict. We were born into a world at war. A rebellion against Almighty God that began long before time. Yet, there's such a deep human longing for true and lasting peace. Don't we all want peace? True peace, the profound gift promised during this Advent season by the Prince of Peace, is not merely the absence of conflict, but the divine presence of God. The last words we sang, O come, abide with us, our Lord, Emmanuel. Emmanuel, God is with us. First, resolving humans' cosmic war against its creator. Emmanuel. God with us, enabling us to guard our hearts against that internal chaos. Emmanuel. God is with us, empowering us to actively overflow that healing peace into our troubled world. The peace that was heralded by the angels to the shepherds that first Advent night is a deeply theologically rich address to humanity's foundational state of rebellion against God. They said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. Today we will establish that this peace begins with the reconciliation of our relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ, moving us from enemies to being justified, adopted children. This foundational peace then transforms us into an eternal peace with ourselves, allowing us to enter into the gift of God's Spirit to guard our hearts and minds against internal and external stressors, as Jesus provides a gift of peace that the world cannot give. Finally, this internal transformation compels us to work for peace with others, making us true children of God who allow the empowering presence of the Holy Spirit to overflow, extending freedom and reconciliation into the sphere of our everyday influence. True peace is not the absence of trouble, but the presence of God. We must move from being at war to being at peace. Let's pray. Father, we come to you as your children, seeking your peace, a peace that is beyond our understanding, a peace that is beyond our ability to engage and cause it. Lord, we rest in the fact that you are at work in our world. You're at work in our lives, in our hearts and minds, in our families, and in our church. And Lord, you're working your plan for peace. And so we come into your peace. We ask you to surround us with your peace. Let it be something that overflows like the love that you have for us, so that those around us can see that even in the stress of the season and the stress of our world, we're at peace because we rest in you. Thank you for the children this morning who helped us learn many lessons in peace. As we open your word, open our hearts and minds to understand what you have for us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, the first point is the foundation. And if you read the weekly word, we're just doing peace with God, peace in your heart, and peace with others. Those are the three simple points today. I have all the sub-points up here. The problem is, do you realize, I referenced it earlier, that humanity is in open rebellion with Almighty God? Right? Pastor David spoke so well last week about war, and we were born into a world at war. And this isn't referencing World War I, World War II, or World War III. This is a war that happened before time even began. At some point, there was rebellion in heaven, and the angelic forces joined Lucifer against God. Some of them. I meant to say some of them, not all of them. The first humans, immediately after creation, joined this rebellion, disbelieving God and his promises. And sin entered the world. Romans 5:12 reads, when Adam's sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death. So death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. So we are in a world at war. Ever since that day, the world has been at war with its creator, in open rebellion. The solution. We're in a world at war, but it's a love story. Like all good movies, right? The good movies have evil and have the challenge and have the difficulties, but it's a story about love. But God, right? Going back to Ephesians. But God loved you and me so much that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the promised one, to be the perfect Lamb of God who would take away the sins of all who surrendered to him. The key scripture this morning is at the bottom of the screen. The Apostle Paul wrote, therefore, and pay attention anytime there's a therefore, it's there for a reason, right? You've got four chapters ahead and all that that we've talked about before. Pastor David did a great job last week. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done. Because of Jesus' obedience to the Father and through our faith in him, we are in peace with God. So as I was thinking through this, I thought, what are the steps to peace with God? And that's my next thought. And I put them up there just because I think we always need to talk about it. First step to peace with God is acknowledge God, the sovereign, almighty creator of the universe, is the only God. He exists, right? And then acknowledge our need or admit our sin or our rebellion. Recognize that you have made mistakes, sinned, and that these actions have created a separation between you and God. We have to admit that we need help. Second step, repent. Turn from your old ways and your self-centered life, which is sin. Repentance means a change of mind that leads to a change of direction. Simply stated, it means just to turn around, right? Understand the way you're going and say, I don't want to go that way anymore. I want to turn around. I want to turn back to God rather than turning away from God. The third step, believe. Believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son, that he died on the cross to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine, and that he rose from the dead, conquering sin and death. He is the one and only bridge to the gap between you and God. Fourth step, and these aren't in any special order, humbly receive Jesus Christ into your heart and life, asking him in prayer to be your Lord, the one you follow, and your Savior, the one who forgives you. We must receive Christ, right? The greatest gift we've ever been given is Jesus. And just like a present that is handed to you, you have to accept it. You have to receive it and take it into your life. And then I put a fifth step up there because in all of our salvation presentations, I never want to miss this step. Live as a disciple, one who is at peace with God. We have perfect peace when we keep our hearts and minds and actions stayed or focused on him, right? Colossians 3:1, set your mind on the kingdom reality, on Christ. The Bible states, you will keep him in perfect peace, all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you, from Isaiah 26:3. So let's get real. Are you at war with God? And I can flip it around, and this might be the harder one. Do you think God is at war with you? I think that might be one of the biggest challenges we face. Next to point two. Do you feel that God, I don't even want to say this, hates you? That God's disappointed with you? Right? Is there chaos? I guess that's the best way to ask it. Is there chaos between you and God? Because we don't have to be that way. Are you at peace with God? Because you believe that through Jesus Christ, God is at peace with you. Peace with God is a status change. We are no longer in Christ. We are no longer his enemies. We're his adopted children. He loves you with a passion and grace and mercy that can't even be described, let alone fully understood. This is the bedrock, the foundation of our peace. And remember, this is something we don't earn. Just like the children receiving a piece of candy this morning. It's a gift freely given to us to receive the Prince of Peace. So my second thought today is the transformation. Peace with self. So here's the conflict. First thought. Even after gaining peace with God, the war continues around us, obviously, but most intensely within us internally. Much of the fight is in our hearts and in our minds. We wrestle, remember, with unseen forces and thoughts, right? Satan wants to give you those messages that tell you you're worthless. So the control. The good news is that the one place we have control over is our self. When God created Adam and Eve in creation, he didn't create puppets. He didn't create robots. He created self-thinking, individual human beings who had the freedom to choose to accept him or to reject him. And being children of Adam and Eve, you and I are given that choice. Really, sincerely, I can't control anybody or anything around me, even though we work really hard to, right? The only thing I have absolute control over is my mind and my heart, what I set it on, what I think, what I focus on, what I pay attention to. So the choice, we are encouraged to set our minds on Christ. We could say hearts. Set your heart on Christ. This is how we activate the peace that we're given within us. Paul continues in Colossians 3:15, teaching us that God's peace will guard your heart and your mind as you live in Christ. Right? That's the fifth step, that discipleship, that abiding, that remaining in Christ. We're encouraged to let the peace that comes from Christ rule, have reign, be the most important thing in our life, in our hearts, and in our minds. And what's the promise? John 14:27, Jesus said, "I am leaving you with a gift, peace of heart and mind. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or be afraid." So I've referenced before the message of the arrows. And when we're talking about this internal conflict, this struggle that happens in the center of who we are, the self, right? We talk about it being the heart, the soul, you know, your the foundational point of who you are. I want to talk about the message of the arrows. The arrows represent pain or trauma and deep violations that we experience in our life, such as abandonment, abuse, loss, or silent emotional neglect, often referred to as the mother or father wound. Think for a minute of the fiery darts from Satan, okay? There are several ways that we can play these message of the arrows. The most damaging part is not the pain of the wound itself, but the message that accompanies it. And when we say the message of the arrows, an arrow is sent usually into your heart, maybe into your mind, into your thought system, saying something about you. The message is always a lie about yourself, the world, or God, right? Referencing back the question I asked earlier, is God at war with you? If you have a message in your heart, if you have a mental thought that, yeah, God's very angry with me, you know, I'll never be good enough to do enough for him, right? I can never accomplish that, right? That's a message of the arrow. Some of the core messages delivered by the arrows are up there. Kill your heart. Divorce it. Neglect it. Or run from it. Use some kind of anesthetic. Something to dull the pain. These are usually our addictions, right? There's a whole list of them. Things like, you are on your own. You got to figure this out all by yourself. Nobody's going to come to your rescue. You're alone. This one's hard. You are worthless, dark, dirty, unloved, unlovable. You will never fill in the blank. Remember what these are and where they come from. These are the messages of the arrows that are sent to our heart to tell us God doesn't love you. And then the last, you must arrange for what little life there may be. Companies, you're on your own. You have to rely on yourself. Self-reliance and manipulation or control. Remember, we've talked about the self-will, that desire to get what I need, what I want, what I must have, no matter the consequence to myself or to others. This message is so forcefully and piercing that it creates a deep shift in our soul, causing the wounded person to form an unconscious vow. The bottom, I will never be that vulnerable again. I'm going to protect myself. I call this walls or mask. These vows and the resulting self-protection, that self-will, then define a person's personality, leading to behaviors such as anger, perfectionism, hiding, and the various addictions that we've referenced. They are secondary, those walls or masks that we wear, hiding who we truly are. And they're an attempt for us to hide our pain. So how do we find healing from our wounds, from the message of those arrows? Jesus said, quoting Isaiah 61:1 in Luke 4:18, I have come to bind up the brokenhearted, to set the captives free. Healing is a journey of restoration that moves the heart from self-protection to trust. And this is primarily through intimacy with Jesus Christ. We can find peace with God through Jesus Christ. We can find peace within ourselves through Jesus Christ. The key steps and principles are up here. First, acknowledge the wound and the lie. Healing cannot begin until the wound is acknowledged and wept over. Whatever is denied cannot be healed. The spiritual life begins with the acceptance of our wounded self. Right in the very beginning, I'm a sinner. I need help. God, I repent. I confess. In the same way, we identify a wound and we take it and we understand, number two, identify the lie or the message. The goal is to bring the lie into the light of Jesus, right? As long as we keep it, as long as we hold it, we're owning it, right? It's a part of who we are. So we take the lie and we put it into the light of Christ. What is the specific lie that the arrow delivered? I'm unlovable. I don't have what it takes. I'll never be. Fill in the blank. Third step, reject the message and conform it and yourself to truth. Consciously reject the lie of the arrow and conform the memory and the emotional belief to God's truth. Recognizing, and I put it up there, that the truest thing about you is never your wound. Right? When we bring it into the light and we give it up to Jesus and we say, I need you, Lord. Take this from me. I don't want to carry it anymore. I surrender. I submit. And number four, encounter the healer. Healing is not a formula, but a deeply personal thing that happens through intimacy with Jesus Christ. Jesus' mission on earth, yes, was salvation, to die on the cross, but he said it's to bind up the brokenhearted, to take those wounds and to give you whole and lasting healing. And healing requires grieving, allowing oneself to feel original sin, forgiving, releasing those who fired those arrows into you if they were another human being, and then opening your heart again, allowing Jesus to step into the young places of wounding to provide transformative encounters with him in his presence, experiencing his love, his safety, and his grace. And then the fifth step, live in peace and love. The healing path involves choosing to trust God and his pursuit of us over the cynicism and self-reliance dictated by the arrows. This invites the heart to risk love and adventure. So, I need to take a breath. Let's get real. Are you at war with God? In yourself? Or are you at peace with God? Can you sit here this morning and say, I am at peace with God because I am at peace with me? Now that's a big asking point. That's hard. Let's just admit it right up front. But that's the most beautiful place to be. You have the God-granted authority, opportunity, and freedom to choose to live in peace. We truly discover peace in our hearts and minds when we activate, receive, act upon his peace. As we learn, and it's a process, it takes time, let's be patient with each other. But as we learn to see ourselves through God's eyes, eyes of love, eyes of joy, and eyes of peace, we accept him and all his gifts to us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, meekness, self-control. Oh Lord, we need these in our lives. We need these in our church. We need these in our family. Let's accept and receive his gift of peace. So my third thought, the overflow. Peace with others. Natural flow. When we have peace with God and peace within ourselves, that same peace can and will overflow to the world. Like love, peace is not meant to be hoarded, right? It's meant to be given away. And maybe there's the lesson. The more you give, the more you get, right? Give it away. You can never give it away enough. Right? You never run out of God's love. You never run out of his grace. You never run out of his peace. So the calling, Matthew 5, 9, God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. That's the NLT. I put the ESV up there. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Right? God blesses those who work for peace, who are putting into practice his peace. Being a child of God means carrying the family likeness of Jesus, the Prince of Peace. As we take on Christ more and more, stripping off the old sinful nature, putting on Christ, we are called to be peacemakers. The gift of being a peacemaker is a blessing from the Father. The compassion. 2 Corinthians 3:17 reads, "For the Lord is spirit, and wherever the spirit of the Lord, there is freedom." And I took a little liberty and put peace in parentheses, because if we have freedom in Christ, we have peace, right? The point is the Holy Spirit dwells in us, giving us the presence, power, and freedom to extend peace to others, even in all this chaos. So the challenge, how can you actively work for peace in your home, in your workplace, or in your neighborhood this Advent season? What are you doing to participate with God and his peace? The command, and yes, it's a command, Romans 12:18, do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. So I want to introduce the peace pursuit. Now, I know you've been hearing a lot about it because we had a video series that we had to run in two different sessions. There's about 30 of us who have accomplished this peace pursuit. But on January 10th and 11th, Yes, you have my permission to take out your phone, make a calendar notification. There's going to be an announcement about it. There's actually going to be a registration for it in the Church Center app. So if you don't have the Church Center app, please download it. My heart's desire is that everyone, every one of us, would be exposed to this peace pursuit process. We're going to have training on Saturday the 10th and Sunday the 11th, both days, 4 hours on Saturday and both services on Sunday morning and then 2 hours on Sunday afternoon. I know that's hard. It's a difficult schedule. But if you can be a part of this, what is this peace pursuit? What's it about? Mark 9:50, be at peace with one another, right? It's about conflict and solving conflict through the biblical aspect of peace. And so I put up here, why peace pursuit? First, pursue the things that make for peace and build up one another, Romans 14:19. These are just scripture references. The second one, strive for peace with everyone. We read it, Hebrews 12:14. Make every effort to keep the unity of peace through the bond of unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace, Ephesians 4:3. We'll cover that in a few months. Do everything in your power as long as it depends on you to be at peace with all. That's the one we just read. So the five pillars of peace pursuit. And I'm stealing a little bit of the thunder from the 10th or the 11th. But as I read these, I want you to ask yourself this question. Do I believe these? Do I really believe this? Number one, God wants you to be at peace with all people. Do you really believe that? Your relationship with people reflects and affects your relationship with God. Wow. Interesting. Number three, treat everyone as a unique person created and loved by God. That's a high value. Number four, treat everyone alike without prejudice or partiality. Boy, we're getting real. Number five, everyone is blessed when you pursue peace biblically. Right? We all want peace. That's our heart. That's our desire. So as we conclude this message, the thought of living in the shelter of peace. We have peace because of Jesus' past work. What Jesus Christ did for us in the incarnation, the birth, his life, his teachings, his training, everything he did in his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension gives us peace with God. We can be, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. We maintain peace through the Spirit's presence in our lives, meaning we can be at peace with ourselves. And I want to highlight, it's not always easy, but it's possible. Okay? We have to continue to cry out, Holy Spirit, take my heart, take my life. I surrender everyone and everything to you. I give it all to you. I need your help. Beautiful, beautiful prayer. We share peace through our Christ-like actions. When we act like Christ, when we emulate Christ, when we live like Christ, we'll have peace with others. Right? Think about Jesus and all of his interactions. And yeah, there were some challenging times. Why was Jesus at peace? Because he knew he was in the Father's hands. You and I can be at peace with God, ourselves, and others as we abide, remain in Jesus. We know that we are covered by the shelter of his wings. Even when the world seems like it's falling apart, and Lord, it seems like it's falling apart, we have peace because we are safe in the hands of Jesus. We reside in the shelter of the Most High, Psalm 61, right? So our call to action is this Advent, as we're anticipating Christ and his coming again in our lives. Choose to set your mind on Christ. activate the gift of peace that we've already been given and allow it to transform your life and the lives of those around you. So I won't say it the last thing today, but this is the last thing I want you to hear. Go in peace. So let's stand and we'll say a closing prayer and we'll sing a song. Father, we need you. You are the Prince of Peace. We desire peace with God. Lord, we want to see ourselves through your eyes and realize how much you truly love us, how much you gave in sending Jesus. And Lord, in the little, they don't seem so little, but in the wars within ourselves, we invite you, Jesus, to come into our heart. We open the door and let you in and share a meal with you, to sit down and to let you hear all that we're going through. And Lord, out of the peace that we have with God and Jesus, Holy Spirit, help us to be at peace with those around us. Lord, we know that until you return, peace will not reign on this earth. But we are still called to be persons of peace. And so, Lord, bless us as we seek your peace in our families, in our communities, our workplaces, our schools, and in our world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.